Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, The Island of Jambudvip, Text Number 9. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are inconceivable. He has appeared in the form of Nara Narayan in the land of Bhardvarsha at the place known as Bhadrak Ashrama to favor his devotees by teaching them religion, knowledge, renunciation, spiritual power, sense control, and freedom from false ego. He is advanced in the opulence of spiritual assets, and he engages in executing austerity until the end of this millennium. This is the process of self-realization." Purport. People in India may visit the temple of Narayan at Bhadrak Ashrama just to learn how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his incarnation as Narayan, engages in austerities to teach the people of the world how to achieve self-realization. It is impossible to realize oneself simply by absorbing oneself in speculation and material activities. One must be very serious about self-realization and the practice of austerity. Unfortunately, people of this age of Kali do not even know the meaning of austerity. Under these circumstances, the Lord has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bestow upon the fallen souls the easiest method of self-realization, technically called Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, cleansing of the dirt from the core of the heart, one's heart. This method is extremely simple. Anyone can chant the glorious Krishna Sankirtan, which you probably all know this mantra, we can repeat it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I thought you knew it. In this age, there are different forms of so-called advanced scientific knowledge, such as anthropology, Marxism, Freudism, nationalism, and industrialism. But if we work very hard under the guidance, instead of adopting the process, But if we work very hard under their guidance, instead of adopting the process practiced by Narayan, we shall waste our valuable human form of life. Thus we shall certainly be cheated and misled. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are inconceivable. He has appeared in the form of Narayan in the land of Bhardvarsha at the place known as Bhadrak Ashram to favor his devotees by teaching them religion, knowledge, renunciation, spiritual power, sense control, and freedom from false ego. He is advanced in the opulence of spiritual assets and engages in executing austerity till the end of this millennium. This is the process of self-realization." Among Vishnu Praya Krishna Prasthayabhutai, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Sarasvatum Deve, Gorvani Pracharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatya De Sitarane. The purpose of austerity is mentioned here. Ultimately, it's to purify our consciousness, and the purpose of purifying the consciousness is that we can think about Krishna in pure consciousness. Therefore, at the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma, he was sitting there, and he didn't know what was going on, just like we're sitting here, and we also don't know what's going on. The difference is that we're not sitting on a lotus flower. And we have a bit more light than he had. His advantage is he had four heads to figure it out. And the other thing, he didn't have the internet to confuse himself. He didn't Google what's going on and get all the wrong answers. But he was curious, Jignasu. He actually was thinking, what's going on? Of course, if we were on a lotus flower in the middle of nowhere and it was all dark, we'd probably have a few questions ourselves. So he was thinking like that, what's going on, and how can I understand what's going on? He didn't have a lot of alternatives, so it was quite easy for him. He could jump off the lotus, which was probably not a good idea, unless he was really getting frustrated. Or he could climb down into the lotus and see what was happening down the lotus. So he chose the latter. He went down the lotus, and he didn't find very much. Everything was dark, but then he heard two sounds from the Sparsha alphabet, ta and pa, which to us wouldn't mean very much. If we heard ta and pa, we'd just think, you know, what? Can you repeat that? Ta, pa. Can I get a translation? But he was intelligent enough to understand what it meant. Actually, what it means is to heat up. Tapa means the heat, or as we say in the Sankirtan movement, get into the fire. But that doesn't mean get into the fire. All the devotees are now in the fire, and we build a fire and we jump in. That means to get into the fire of devotional consciousness, to get ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. Just like people are also in the fire of material desire. When one is actually absorbed in the fire of material desire, then it's almost like, it's actually, according to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, it's like being in a fire. Avritam jnana etena jnana no nityavarina kama rupena kuntiya dusprena analena cha. Analena means fire. So material consciousness is compared to a blazing fire of material existence. As we probably know, there's a song that we sing in the morning that has something about a blazing fire of material existence. Do you remember that? Yes. It's good that someone remembers. Samsara dava nanalita loka tranaya karunya kanakanaktvam. So samsara means that the birth and cycle of birth and death is caused by our material desires. Dava means what? What does dava mean? How many years have we been singing the song? We're in the movement 20 years. 365 times 20. So that's, we've sung it 7,000 or 8,000 times. And if we ask you, what does dava mean, we think, dava? That's short for David. Samsara da anala. What does anala mean? Anala? Analena cha? Someone can guess what anala means? It's the word for fire. So where is the fire? In the forest. So what does dava mean? No, it's forest. Anala means fire. This is called a conjunction of words in Sanskrit. So they all take a certain case. They all take the same case, but they're linked together. Samsara dava. Nanalita loka. What does loka mean? What's that? No, in this regard, what does it mean? People, yes. You must have the book there. Now you become more intelligent than everyone else. Your memory has been restored. Samsara dava nanalita loka. Tranaya. What does tranaya mean? No one knows what Trinaya.
To liberate.
Yes, the free one. The free one. Trinaya Karunya. What is Karunya? What's that?
By the mercy.
Yes, by merciful. Samsara Dava Nanalita Loka Trinaya Karunya Ganak Ganak Tvam. What does Ganak Ganak Tvam mean? Of the nature of what? Yes, of the nature of a cloud. So. Praptasya. What does prapti mean? What's that? Yeah, to asya, of, obtain, of, asya is always of, makes it into preposition. Of the quality of obtaining something, of obtaining. So obtaining what? What does the spiritual master attain the quality of? What quality is he attaining? What is he like? He's like a cloud, that's why he's up here. He's floating. That's how you can tell a spiritual master. He can float like a cloud. Or his head is in the clouds. That's why he's always preaching. Praptasya kalya gunanavasya Samsara dava nanalita loka trinaya karunya ganakanaktvam praptasya kalyana. What does kalyana mean? What is kalyana kalpataru? Auspiciousness, yes. Kalyana is auspicious. So the auspicious qualities of a cloud, kalyana. Samsara dava nanalita loka trinaya karunya ganakanaktam praptasya kalyana guna. What does guna mean? Say it. What is guna? There are three what? What's that? So quality. So guna means? Yeah, that's right. Quality, mode, whatever. Arnava. What does Arnava mean? How many qualities does he obtain? One quality, two qualities? An ocean of quality. It's good to actually, I think Pierre Krishnamurti in Serbia, he gave a seminar like this. It's good to know what we're singing. There's no secret, you know. How long have you been a devotee? 20 years. Well, sorry, you're not quite eligible to find out what the Guru Vastika prayers mean. If they're only for very special initiated devotees to know. Gunarnavasya. Bande Guroshi Charanaravind. So the material master is receiving mercy from the ocean of the spiritual master is receiving what's the translation actually? He's receiving mercy from the
benediction
from the ocean of material spiritual qualities, just like a cloud pours water on the forest fire to extinguish it. So the spiritual master extinguishes the fire, blazing fire of material existence, the suffering of material existence. So the spiritual master is receiving benediction from the ocean of material, spiritual existence, of qualities, whatever, what does it say?
Ocean of mercy.
Ocean of mercy. Just like a cloud pours water on the forest fire to extinguish it, so the spiritual master extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. I offer my respectful obeisance to such a spiritual master who is an ocean of spiritual qualities. So, we're trying to get benediction from the ocean of spiritual qualities. So how do we do that? What is the austerity that we have to do to get benediction from the ocean of spiritual qualities? Now, this is a very confidential secret, so don't tell anyone. What's that? Serve. Serve him what? What's that? Yes, so, and how are we going to follow his instructions? What did Brahma do to follow that instruction? He did devotional service. He sat there and kept on asking questions. I mean, that's all true. I'm not that trying. But what did actually Brahma do? He chanted. What did he chant? 16 rounds? What did Brahma chant?
Hare Krishna.
He chanted Hare Krishna. Who taught him the Hare Krishna mantra? Are you sure he was chanting Hare Krishna? But what, I mean, in one sense, but what was he actually, what did Brahma do? What was his austerity? What's that? Yes, he tried to fix his mind on the sound. And what did it turn into? When he fixed his mind, what did he become? What's that? When Brahma finally fixed his mind, what happened? He was not afraid. Couldn't care less. He fell off the lotus flower or whatever. The Lord appeared. Yes. I mean, what book do we have that tells us what happened? Is there some book that tells us what happened to Brahma? Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Any other book? Brahma Samhita? What did he see? He saw the spiritual world. When his consciousness became fixed, then he saw the spiritual world. By after meditating upon the instruction, fixing his consciousness, then he saw the spiritual world. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Udarad atmanatmanam atmanam avasadayat atmaiva yatmano bandur atmaiva ripur atmana bandur atmatmanas tasya enai vatmatmana jita anatmanas tu shatrudve varte tatmaiva shatrudva jitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita shitoshna sukadukeshu tatamana pamaniyo. A man must elevate himself by his own mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. For one who has conquered the mind, it's the best of friends. And for one who has failed to do so, it becomes the greatest enemy. For one who has conquered his mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. For such a person, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. So, what's our actual problem in the material world? What is our ultimate problem? Besides the fact that we have to suffer from birth and death, etc. But what is the cause of that? Yes, uncontrolled. As Prahlad Maharaj said, there's no enemy in this world except for the uncontrolled mind. So everything we're doing is meant to help us control the mind. And then when the minds, how do we control our minds? How do we try to control our minds? Does anyone know? By chanting. And why are we chanting? What's that? To control our mind. So a parrot is also chanting. Polly wants a cracker, Polly wants a cracker. It's also chanting. So are we a parrot? What's that? To clean our heart. So, and what happens when the heart's cleansed? What's that? We're chanting so we can become Krishna conscious. So we're chanting because Krishna and his names are non-different. So when we chant, if we chant nicely and we hear nicely, then we'll actually become conscious of Krishna, like Brahma did. So that's called, what's the austerity? Austerity, in order to chant properly and hear properly, we have to give up sense gratification. And we have to give up so many things. Vihaya kaman yaksarvam, pumam charati nispriha, nirmamo nirahankara sushanti madigachati. Person lives from desire, free from desire, vihaya kaman, or material desire, pumam charati nispriha, who remains aloof from desires of sense gratification, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. So in other words, if we're attached to our material conceptions, then it's not possible to fix our minds on Krishna. Then we'll be deviated by material anxiety. Because we're in a material body, and the thing about the material body, it's always in difficulty. There's always a problem. One can't have a material body and not have a problem. One problem is that the body keeps on changing all the time, and it's not getting younger. It keeps on changing, it gets older and older, and what happens when you get old enough? What happens? It doesn't work anymore. We got to leave it. So that's a problem. Especially if we don't want to leave it. So it keeps on getting older. And what happens when it gets older? It gets diseased. What does disease mean? It means a lack of ease. We feel uncomfortable. And then we die, and then what happens again? We get another birth. Maybe in the human form of life, maybe in the spiritual world, but we have to leave this body. But most people, if they're not Krishna conscious, they take another birth. So is birth pleasant? If you go to the maternity ward and see the children taking birth, they're all smiling. Can I do that again? That was fun. No, they're crying. And if they don't cry, they slap them till they cry. Hey, kid, welcome. Don't worry, it's not your last slap. It's just the beginning, kid, just to tell you what it's all about. So these are problems in the material world, and they're all caused by the fact that we're not conscious of Krishna. And we actually believe that we're actually going through all these different experiences. Of course, we are experiencing these different states of material existence, but we believe, when we're in material consciousness, that we're the ones who are going through these different states of existence, rather than we're experiencing these different states of existence. So that's really our only problem. Because we have no problem. Because the soul doesn't go through birth, doesn't go through old age, doesn't go through disease, and it doesn't die. It just goes through material bodies that are going through these things. And because it thinks it is this material body, therefore it believes it's going through these things, and it suffers. We suffer because of that. But if we fix our mind upon Krishna, then not only we don't identify ourselves any longer with this material body and the mind and the false ego, but instead we enter into a different realm of experience, full of bliss, full of knowledge, eternally. So that's called austerity, to change from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. But in order to do that, we have to be willing to give up material consciousness. We have to be willing to give up our suffering. But we don't want to give up our suffering. Why don't we want to give up our suffering? Does anyone know?
Because we identify ourselves with the mind.
Well, why do we identify ourselves with the mind?
Because of ignorance.
Yes, ignorance. And what do we believe? What do we believe? Why do we keep on, even this fact that we hear that it's an illusion, what do we believe? Why do we keep on wanting to identify ourselves with this gross and subtle material bodies? No one knows. What's that? Yes, we actually believe we're going to be happy in this material world. And what is the basic principle of happiness in the material world? What do we believe we can do here? Well, first thing, we believe we can actually stop old age, disease, and death. And how are we going to do that? By getting married, for instance. That's one. If we get married, then my husband or my wife will protect me. She'll make nice food and keep me healthy. Or my husband is strong, and then if the people come and try to harm us, he'll protect me. We get a house to protect us and put locks on it. We get children, so when they grow up, they can get a job and protect me, provide me in old age. So I can survive in the material world. Basically, people are working for most of their existence just to get some security and survival. And we think we can, somehow or another, defy death. Stop the body from changing sufficiently. We can stay in this body forever. And in the meantime, while we're changing the body, staying in the body, we can enjoy so many different things. Pizza, ice cream, whatever. So we believe that we can get some, ultimately we can get some security, because without security we can't have any real enjoyment. If we know if someone's holding a gun to our head while we're eating the pizza and ice cream and tell us after we're done too, then the pizza won't taste very good, or we'll eat it very slowly. So similarly, there's a gun to everyone's head in the material world. Everyone knows the material nature is about to kill us and send us out of this body very shortly, and therefore everything doesn't taste as good as it could be. That's why people take intoxication, because they want to forget. They accuse the devotees of wanting to forget, but actually they want to forget reality. They tell us we're escaping reality, but we're escaping into reality. They want to stay in illusion and suffer here, and we want to escape into reality. They've escaped from reality into illusion, and we're escaping from illusion into reality. But because they're in illusion, therefore they suffer so much, they have to take intoxication to escape from their escape. Therefore, the conclusion is, chanting Hare Krishna is the best austerity. Chanting Hare Krishna, or anything that will help us chant Hare Krishna purely, with love and devotion and attention, anything that will help is also helping, is also spiritual. Or at least will lead us to the proper state of spiritual consciousness. And ultimately, the greatest austerity in the material world, austerity from the point of view of detaching us from any material desires to sense gratification, is to purely, offenselessly chant Hare Krishna. Because that will bring us completely out of any realm of desire for sense gratification. Trying to stop sense gratification by escaping it will not be very successful. Or by denying it, or trying to become detached from it, has not proven very successful. But getting free from sense gratification by becoming conscious of Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna with his divine associates in the spiritual world and engaging in pure devotional service to Krishna, that always proves successful. Those who are in such consciousness, they don't even remember anymore what sense gratification means, because there's no experience of sense gratification anymore. They're in a completely different realm of experience. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
So my question is about how, while performing the customer service, we have to accept different authorities and submit to different persons. So how to develop this kind of faith to have trust for different authorities?
Well, why should you trust anyone? We shouldn't just blindly trust anyone. Blind following, this is what Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. So the process of speaking spiritual circles is that one should at once quote from the authority to back up what one is saying. So we trust, we're developing ultimately trust for Krishna by experience. So an authority means one who tells us what Krishna wants us to do and tells us how to do it in such a way as to please Krishna. So there may be many authorities, but they should all have reference to Krishna and his instructions. Otherwise, they can't. That's what's called a bona fide authority. If one is not referring to Krishna and his instructions, as explained to us through disciple succession, then one is not a bona fide authority, and why should we trust them? That's just called sentiment. So we should have intelligence also, just like religion without knowledge is sentiment or fanaticism, and knowledge without religion is simply dry speculation. Of course, in our ordinary dealings, those who are associating with the devotees, we take it for granted that Krishna exists, we're a spiritual soul, there's a process of that Krishna will reveal himself to us called pure devotional service, and we should try to fix our consciousness upon Krishna. And in order to perform ordinary devotional service or pure devotional service, there's certain things we can do. So if the authority tells us to go to Mangalarati, for instance, then we can't start, it's probably not a good idea to start challenging them. Where is the authority that you tell me to go to Mangalarati? Where does it say that in the scripture? And then we show them nectar of instruction or nectar of devotion. Say, well, where did this come from? We have a 3-hour debate if there's any authority to tell us to go to Mangalarati. Then we probably were in the wrong movement. So certain things we have to have some faith in, but there's certain instructions we may be given. If the temple president tells us, you know, we're a little short of money, you know, can you be part of a bank robbery? All the money will be offered to Krishna. So we may have to inquire a little bit further whether this is one of the 64 angas of bhakti. So some things have to be investigated a little bit more deeply. But an ordinary course of activities is really little reason, practically, to not have faith in the authorities. Isn't that right? Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.